I'd like to spend a few minutes tonight looking at some things about how we can please the Lord. That's the wrong button. Pleasing God. We'll look at several scriptures. The idea I want to focus on is how can we please the Lord and the results of pleasing the Lord. You know, our world today seeks to get ahead in man's wisdom. They seek to win things and overcome with men's power, but really the answer is in God. And this first verse that I've put on the screen, Proverbs 16, verse 7, says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." You see, peace is from the Lord. So when a man's ways please the Lord makes his enemies to even be at peace with him. Boy, there was a time that was true in this country, wasn't it? The world looked to America and said, boy, they've got a lot, and we want to be their friend. It's sad to say that's not the case so much anymore, because we've turned from him. You look around and you see the things that are being done in the name of our nation, the name of our government. Do you think our ways please the Lord? We exalt evil and sin and rebellion and perverseness, and we criticize and handicap and sometimes even lock up and legislate against righteousness. There's a mess going on. I think all of us have seen some areas of it around us. But the good news is it was worse when Paul was alive. It was worse when Jesus was alive. The gospel turned the world upside down. And I believe the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What it is, we've got to get back to focusing on the gospel. There's been a movement in the last several years in our churches to try to do everything to bring them in some other way than just say, we're preaching Jesus and his word. We want to trick them in, have fun, enjoy yourself. Build you up a better society, a better livelihood, help you to get rich and wise and healthy and all that. Those are fine. But Jesus is more important than all of that. Amen? Amen? And think about this. Every time we use something else to draw their attention, are we not devaluing what we really want them to know? The Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we substitute something else for the sincere milk of the Word of God, we devalue that Word of God in their eyes and in our own. We need to let our ways please the Lord. 1 John 3:22 tells us that when we are right with the Lord, we have power in prayer. And of course, we all know we need that. Unfortunately, it seems that many times people don't think about being right with the Lord in its connection to power and prayer until they need it. But you need to be ready before. Amen? 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And it goes on to say, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." There's a fellowship there amongst believers. Vaughn and I were honored and Deborah to go to the BBI banquet again last Monday night. And it's a joy to see brothers and sisters from different backgrounds and different cultures. We had one thing in common, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and our love for him. And it crosses all boundaries. You know, in heaven, there's going to be every kindred, tribe, and nation. It won't be just people like us. It'll be black and white and blue and purple or whatever else there is. God wants everybody to be saved. And we need to continue to look at that. And so if there's any residue of the old world's philosophy back in the depths of our heart that says, I don't like that person because of his culture or their culture, we need to get rid of that and say, God, your Bible says you made all men of one blood. And your Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory. And your Bible says all may come to Christ. So we're all the same. As that preacher illustrated many years ago, the ground at the foot of the cross is level ground. Everybody comes the same way. And the Lord is pleased to use people. One brother said the other day in my hearing, Actually, I wasn't even talking to him. He was in another part. It's in the restaurant this morning. A bunch of brothers get together and pray and have a breakfast together once a week, saying he didn't understand why God would choose him because he can't read well and doesn't write well. And I'm sitting over there and said, well, I can tell you the answer. I didn't say this out loud because I don't know the man personally, but I wanted to say, because the Bible says God delights in taking the foolish things to confound the wise and the weak things to confound the strong, that there be no glorying in his presence. Jesus Christ get the glory. But I think he probably knew that, but he was just talking with his friends, and I thought that's something we all need to remember. It's not because we're so important or we're so talented or we're so necessary for God's work. We need him. He doesn't need us. And he's chosen to use us. And it's a great thing for him to use us. And we can be effective in prayer for our needs and for blessing others. And then Colossians 1:10, we need to please God by being fruitful. Now here's something that, again, is dependent upon him, but upon us also. And he's talking about in the middle of this prayer, I'll start in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Finally found that period. Long sentence, but a lot of truth in that, isn't it? God has made things in his plan for us. And our part, how do we fit in? That we'd walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge. And he'll strengthen us and he'll guide us and he'll direct us. But we can have that. But we need to do our part. It's not our part in salvation, for he's done it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. But our part in service, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, you see. We have that opportunity to be used of him. And that pleases God. And then Hebrews 13, verse 16. When we do good. You know, every now and then we have opportunities to help people in just little small ways that maybe they won't notice as much as some other ways, but God knows. It says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Talking about taking what we have and giving to someone else in need. Often we need to give them our time. Sometimes we need to give them some of our treasure. We need to give them what God has blessed us with of truth that we can share with others. It takes time and effort to invest in the lives of others. You know, we're trying to work with our young people and get more in here in the church to build their lives with the Word of God. Because, you know, we're not going to be around much longer, some of us, amen? We're getting closer to the grave each day. I need to start singing that song more. Because it's true. We don't know how many more years we got. Maybe we'll end up like Brother Herman and be disabled toward the end. Who knows? But God knows. Let's make the best of what time we have. Brother Fred's young cousin was 32 and so young to be taken out. And yet, we never know. The Bible says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then has vanished away. So let's use it for him and do good. And then Colossians 1:10, I looked at, we're to please God. I looked at that already by increasing in the knowledge of God. And then 2 Timothy 2:15. This is the one you should probably have memorized. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some of these modern versions have changed that, and it always bugs me because I don't like them changing anything, but they don't like that word study. Well, that's what the Bible says. And that's what God meant. It means you got to take some effort and attention and put some concentration on the thing. It's not just a matter of hearing it one time, that's it. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Let God work in your heart and life. And then see how it applies in your and my individual circumstances. You know, see, that's the true test of the Bible. It's not just knowing it up here. It's living it in our heart and living it out in our activities. I keep quoting that fella from Painesville Baptist 30 years ago who said, I practice every day what I believe. All the rest is just religious words. That really stuck with me. If you want to know what somebody believes, watch what they do. Doesn't matter what they say if they don't live it out. And that's true of our witness in this world. People can look at us and decide whether they believe our talking about Jesus really is important to us or not. I remember talking to Delmas Miller years ago. Some of you knew him. He would visit from time to time, and the thing that impressed him, it always amazed me that this impressed him. He said he noticed I showed up at the church every day and was there every day. And it's like, how do you know? I could be up there sleeping. He didn't. But I guess that impressed him because he went to work. He figured preachers ought to too. Amen. And so little things like that God can use. And not all of them trust the Lord right away. But we can be a witness to those around, studying the Bible and using it in our life. Then Colossians 3:20 talks about obeying your parents. Some of the ones that I thought might like that one is not here tonight. They're sick at home, but maybe their dad will take and tell them, huh? It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I bet there's a lot of us sitting here tonight wish we could go back and have an opportunity to obey our parents again because they're gone. But that doesn't happen in this life. But, you know, we can look back and say, you know, I maybe didn't have the perfect parents, but they did do something for me. They're the ones God chose to have in my life. And that's God's choice. You see, the matter of honoring your father and mother isn't a matter of because they deserve it. It's a matter of because God commands it. And when we disparage what has been given us from God, we are actually saying, in a sense, that we don't believe he was doing knew what he was doing. God, you don't know what's going on here. He knows it all, and he's able to make it overcome. We ought to just obey him. And then there's 2 Timothy 2:4. Are you willing to give your all to him completely? Sometimes we sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. But do we really? It says he is wanting all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Are we willing to be involved? Oh, that's 1 Timothy. I knew that didn't read right. 2 Timothy. But that's another good verse, by the way. We should not give up on everybody. But it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Commitment. Total commitment to the calling God has put on our lives. You say, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. No, but you're a Christian. And a Christian is one who represents Christ. We are ambassadors for him. And so because he has chosen us to be a soldier in his army, in this illustration in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, we realize we got to put away some things, the affairs of this life, little things that our own personal preferences. I love the song in our book, So Send I You, to labor unrewarded. So Send I You. It talks about the things we turn away from just to serve the Lord. And as Jim Elliot quoted and was famous for saying this, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We're not going to keep our youth. We're not going to keep our health forever. We're not going to keep our vision or our hearing or our talents. But what we give to Christ lasts forever. It's stored up in eternity forever. Men will forget our earthly works. I'm always amazed at how much we glorify sports in our nation today. These young men and women who work so hard and exert their efforts to win a game. And 3 days later, I wouldn't even know probably the day it happened. But 10,000 years from now, who's going to care if the Browns or the Steelers won? Nobody. It's not going to matter. Why do we put so much emphasis on things that don't matter? And that's just one little illustration. What's done for Christ will last. Are we totally committed to him? That he's called me, and I'm going to do what I can to serve him with my whole heart. And Psalm 69, 30 and 31. This is one I like because I like to sing. But some of y'all sing too. I'm always reminded of the scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. And I try to do my best. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. He said, using your voice in a song to praise God is more pleasing than that sacrifice of the animal or the, in our culture, sacrifice of monetary things. You see, it cost those people in those days of their living to give those animals and sacrifice. So also as we give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, that's right. But he wants us to praise his name. He wants us to share his message with others and use that which he's given us, our voices. And then 1 Corinthians 1:21, I mentioned earlier, he's chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. You know, there's an emphasis today. Now, we don't want to be preaching to you. Well, why not? God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, we don't want to be confrontational. Well, the Bible is confrontational. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, that's a confrontational thing. Heaven and hell is pretty important, aren't they? And we ought to realize Jesus died that we might be saved. And he wants others to come to know him as well. And he's told us to go tell them. That's important. And trust God. He knows how to do it. So go out there and tell them. And what you say, well, what do you mean by preaching? I don't have a pulpit. No, you don't need a pulpit. You just need a message. Preaching is proclaiming the message with zeal and with emphasis. Thus saith the Lord. Not this is my opinion and this is your opinion. Doesn't matter. You choose. No, this is what God says. This is the way. Walk in it. Don't go the left hand. Don't go the right hand. Straight down the line. Do it as God said it. See, that's what I'm talking about. The foolishness of preaching. Having the courage to say, God has said this and I'm going to share it with you. Now, you've got the choice. You can do whatever you want. God has made us that way. But don't think that it doesn't matter. It matters. Heaven or hell. Blessing or cursing. Good or bad. You know, those are the choices we face every day. And we need to proclaim it with power and with zeal. And then in Hebrews 11:6, by faith. Now, you could take a long time going through this. In fact, I'd consider going through Hebrews 11 tonight, but I changed my mind to do this one instead. But think about all those faithful examples in Hebrews that are listed there after these first few verses. By faith, they served the Lord in different times. And I'm going to go ahead and read 1 through 6. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God hath translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, there's a lot right there in just those first six verses in there. Faith is not based on what we can see with our eyes. It's based on what God has told us in his word. It gives us the foundation. We have these people, and I rejoice in the work of creation science and Ken Ham's dinosaurs and his Noah's Ark and Creation Research Society on the other part of it, John Morris and them. I love all that stuff and the evidences of God's mighty power in creation. But you know, the bottom line is through faith we understand that God made the world by his word. It's not a matter of being able to prove it with our limited means. It's by faith. And by the way, on the other hand, and this is the part that the world always likes to deny, they can't prove it the other way either. They weren't there. They just say, well, this show, they can quote a lot of presumption and conclusions and a lot of theories. Well, this must have been done this. Were you there? No, I wasn't. You say it was 10 billion years ago? Well, how do you know? You see, I've always asked this question. How old was Adam 10 minutes after God made him? Well, he's 10 minutes old. Well, how old do you suppose he looked? Well, about a few days that later, he was a full-grown man with a wife. So, you know, things have apparent age. How old were the trees after God made them? They were that old, but how old did they appear? That's a great thought. God knows how to do it. By faith, we understand that. By faith, Abel and Cain illustrate to us a right way to worship God and a wrong way. You got to do it God's way. From the very beginning, has to be God's way. You say, well, Cain was upset. He said, well, wait a minute. I'm a farmer. He's a herdsman. He's given you the best of his. Take my best. No, by blood. See, your best is human works. You didn't shed any blood. And God was given an illustration way back in the beginning. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't wash away our sins, but it could cover it, looking forward to the blood of Jesus Christ, God the Son, who is the Lamb of God, taketh away the sins of the world. But the works of Cain's hands, the fruit of the vine and the grain and stuff, that's illustrating of man's works. And that can't be accepted. There has to be a substitution. And then Enoch, example of one who walked with God and got to be taken out early. He did not go through the terrible flood. Noah and his family went through it and came through on the other side. But Enoch died just before it happened, or a while before it happened. And then Methuselah was the one that died just before it happened, his son. But the main line, without faith, you can't please God. And there's another verse, I don't know if I put it on here tonight, but it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, you dwell on that a while. All the stuff we spend so much time thinking about, if it's not by faith in God, then get rid of it. It's not important. It can be a sin of omission, of keeping us from doing the things we ought to do. It can be a sin of commission that takes us to do things contrary to what God has said. Whatever is not of faith is sin. I always mentioned Enoch pleased God and walked with him by faith. And then finally, James 2, 14 through 20. You know this passage as well, but we review it again because it's so important in understanding the relationship between faith and works. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now understand what he means. Can a man who says he has faith and no works, can that kind of faith save him? No. What doth it profit? He said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You see, you can talk all day, but if you don't do anything, you didn't help them. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there was one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See, the devils have intellectual understanding. God is real. But they don't submit. They don't believe. They don't call on him. And then it gives two examples. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Isn't it interesting the two examples he quotes? Abraham, the man who followed God, the friend of God, the great hero of the faith, was saved the same way as Rahab the harlot, who was from a pagan nation, the enemies of God. But when she heard of the God of Israel and his power, she believed. And then she acted on her belief by sending those spies out and asking them to remember her. And they told her, you stay in your house and all your family in your house and you'll be spared. You go outside, you're on your own. And they're the only ones that made it out of that city because God caused that great destruction upon Jericho, his judgment upon that sinful place. But by faith, one of them received forgiveness and sin. You see, that's a great example. The same God saved Rahab that saved Abraham. Same God saved you and me can save any sinner out there. And we need to believe that. He can save those ISIS people, they hear the gospel, turn from their evil ways and trust Christ. He can save politicians. Can you believe that? With their long tongues and their devious ways, if they turn to Christ, and he can save everyone. Let's be good examples. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank thee, Lord, for thy blessing upon us and giving us